spent all evening playing Terraria with Jacob. The beta works very well.
I saw you on there. I saw that pop up on my Steam.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, very cool. I was like, I'm hoping that's working fast. Terraria being one of these cool little games. I'm glad I got it for the PC.
Yeah, it's nice. It's so much more enjoyable than playing it on Xbox or PlayStation, I should say. Although the controls are a little weird.
Yeah, I like the
app. You like what?
It's kind of nice just to be able to sit back and kick back playing it on the couch. That's kind of nice. And I can see if you're playing with kids, but if they're at an age where they can use a PC and you can use a PC, that's gonna be a lot more fun.
Yeah, that's what I've been training Jacob.
Good.
I gave him a nice computer, and then I've been slowly converting like all the games he likes to play over to that. So now he has a Steam account.
Fantastic.
I set up a Steam account for him because I was like, if I'm gonna give him this, I want to be able to use the Steam servers for multiplayer, which is cool. I don't know if you've played multiplayer in Terraria.
Not too much.
You can invite your friends to any of your worlds.
We were playing a little bit. All of us just had a really shitty connection, so there was lag. But yeah, well, yeah, we did that. We actually loaded into one person's world first, geared up, and then started our own.
Yeah. And then I like the fact that it lets you take whatever your character has between the worlds, too.
Yeah, that was clever.
Yeah, so all in all, not bad.
Now, with the Steam account, seeing that Jacob's, you know, young, do you have parental control over that?
Yeah, they actually had a really nice parental control feature.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn it on, you can select which games they're allowed to see even. And you can enable and disable different features, including like the friends and the store. So he actually – the nice thing is he doesn't see any ads now.
Oh, that's perfect.
Like when his pops up, it doesn't show like the banner ad of, oh, how about this one and that one? Because you know? That's all I need is just him hassling me like, hey, how about this one or that one
You know, I feel bad for kids in some ways nowadays because they're going against parents who, like us, grew up setting these up for our own parents. So it's like, my parents never knew their way around it. Your dad was always pretty tactical, so he might have been able to track you. I remember Rob's dad used to actually like lay little traps for it, Rob, if I remember.
He did. Both physical and digital.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, my parents had no clue.
No.
But, you know, I'm looking at with my own kids. I'm like, there are so many more tools now.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to really work for their porno.
I installed Norton Family Safe, which is like a $50 a year membership for the extra. You can get, there's a free one that does the gist,
mm-hmm.
and then you can pay the $50 a year to get extra stuff. So it's really cool because you can limit like the hours that they're on there.
That's nice.
So it's cool. You can actually limit the time of day, and then you can set, if you want, you can set a certain number of hours a week. So like, let's say you give them an hour a day, so you just set it for 7 hours a week between the hours of 8 and 8 or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
And then if they play 7 hours one day, then they won't let them play the rest of the week until it restarts. I have the nighttime stuff restricted on Violet's because Violet is one who likes to be naughty. So she would get up and just play with her computer in the middle of the night. So if she tries to turn her computer on it before you can even get to the home screen, it pops up and it's like, yeah, you can't do anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool too, because you can actually put it on phones and tablets too.
Now,
like they have an app.
That's making it ridiculously easy. I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. I think it's really important that parents let their kids use technology.
I mean, I agree.
Everyone says, you know, blah, 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 kids should be running around outside playing, doing homework. And I agree, absolutely. But these are basic tools like reading and writing now. And that's being able to work around in a computer environment.
Right. Stupid sun.
Fuck the sun. The sun sucks.
Right? Never liked it anyway.
Well, you know, actually, that's a great way to segue in to beginning.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to 90s Kids. I am Aaron.
I'm Brian.
And we are back after a little bit of a revamp and technical difficulties. And
it's a good song. Technical difficulties. Doo-doo. I'll send you a link later.
Doo-doo. No. Oh, so, and we, like we just, like we were saying, you know, back in the ancient old days of the 90s when all we had were BBSs and AOL. And
stupid AOL.
Hey, you know what? I like original AOL just for the Usenet access. I missed Usenet access for years after that.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not even just talking for porn. I mean, though that was awesome and everything. There's other cool shit you could find in Usenet that you couldn't find anywhere else.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you have to, if nothing else, give them credit for the Instant Messenger.
Absolutely. Do you remember Instant Messenger punters?
Yeah, I loved those.
Oh, and they so had, fun.
You, and then you had the, what is it? It was like Wind Nuke. And if they were on there, you could actually kick them offline. So it didn't just kick them out of the Instant Messenger. They would go offline completely and have to come back in.
Oh, man. It was crazy. Yeah, and I mean, I remember earlier versions, depending on the version of Windows, you could kick them, you could reboot the computer. It was crazy. The level of access you could get with some of the AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, and stuff like that now, man, people would lose their minds.
We were so young and so innocent in those days. So
right?
So very innocent.
Just trying to get pictures of Scully, you know, off of like whatever magazine she was in.
Trying to steal one song that would take hours to download.
Woo-hoo! Like rocking on Napster and BearShare.
Oh, God, Scour. The first time we could get videos. And most of it was porn, yeah.
But that was a feat of technology.
Hey, the adult entertainment has led to some of our greatest technological advances.
That's true, or at least settled the score of what was going to be the format of choice.
And how to deliver media. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I've always been shocked. It still makes it in today's world on the internet. You know, I don't know why anyone would have a pay site or anything. I hear, not that I would know or anything.
I still love the line from Superbad where they're planning on colleges and he's like, we have to pick a site. They're like trying to decide which porn site that they're going to pool their money to subscribe to.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's like weighing the pros and cons of different sites.
I do not know. See, I never made it that far into Superbad. I think I made it in the first 20, 30 minutes. I went,
oh, it's right at the beginning. So
well,
you probably just forgot. I love that movie. You should try it again now. I don't know when the last time you tried to watch it is.
Many moons ago.
But it that is like the Judd Apatow humor that is now, you know, every funny movie that's out. So you should go back and watch it again. I think you'll get a kick out of
it. All right, I'll check it out again. I may also be confusing it with something else, so.
Maybe. Another one that's similar to that that I absolutely love and I just recently watched again is Grandma's Boy.
That's on Netflix. And actually, me and the wife were thinking about watching that. So that's off. That's
you should. It's great. It's Alan something. I can never remember his last name. But he's one of Adam Sandler's lackeys. Alan Covert.
Okay.
So when you see him, he's in every Adam Sandler movie, and he's usually one of the two guys that's like goofing around in the background or whatever. I think he was the limo driver in
he's the replacement Wedding Norm Singer, McDonald.
Basically.
Okay.
So there's like him, and there's that guy that's always super tan, and then the guy with the weird eye.
Oh,
are
okay.
In like every single one of his movies. So this movie was written, I think, by Alan Covert and somebody else big. And then it's just a really goofy movie and I like it a lot, but you can see Judd Apatow's, you know, brought some stuff to it. Cause Linda Cardellini is in it and, you know, she's from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh gosh. You know, I never watched that show, but it is amazing the impact it's had.
It's on Netflix. You should watch it because it's hysterical and it's such a flashback. Because it's set in
85, I believe, or something.
Yeah, it's set in like the late 70s, early 80s, and it just reminds me, I mean, even though we grew up in the 90s, it reminds me of so many people and things that, you know, were references for us, because we grew up with all the classic, like, Animal House and all those 70s movies that it has that kind of a feel to it.
Oh, I miss, you know, there's, I'll say this for the 70s, amazing humor, amazing comedies.
Yeah.
Action movies, for sure. Meh. 80s gave us the best evolution of the action movie, I think. And then into the 90s, of course. But
yeah, it's funny when you go back, some of those movies that I absolutely love do not hold up extremely well. Like, we just recently rewatched Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, really? I just watched that one.
And I love that movie, but watching it again, it did not hold up as well as I expected. And it turned out a lot of the things that I thought were really funny in that movie, mm-hmm. I had mixed up I had kind of glommed them with The Golden Child.
Ah, which is, I want to rewatch that one.
Yeah.
One thing I like, I noticed rewatching Big Trouble in Little China is Jack, what's the actor's? Amazing
Jack Burton.
Yeah, Jack Burton, who was played by, oh gosh, he's amazing.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, yeah. Jack Burton thinks he's the hero. He's not. If you watch it, he's the sidekick. I never got that before. And I appreciated that because, you know, Jack Burton's amazing and over the top. It's very much, have you ever seen Buckaroo Banzai?
Oh, yeah.
It was very much, I saw it a lot in that sort of context, I guess I would say.
RoboCop is in that movie.
You know, he just got his, like, doctorate in fine arts, Peter Weller. Weird.
So he finally went to acting school?
No, I think he's like, or art history or something. No, yeah.
It's
like
a joke. Gosh. Oh, man.
Oh, but
so the other person, the other co-writer on Grandma's Boy was Nick Swardson. That's what I was thinking of. And he makes me giggle.
I'll check.
But yeah, you should watch that one. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, well,
there's some really ridiculous things with his friend Dante, who's this weed dealer. Speaking of which, there is a scene, I mean, and the movie is okay, but there's this one scene that makes you at least worth watching. I could probably find it on YouTube and send it to you. But there's a movie on Netflix called Extract.
With Jason Bateman, right?
Yes. And he is, it's like a whole weird thing where it's like he's runs this company that makes like flavorings for like extracts for different kinds of manufacturing foods and whatever.
Right.
And they're having trouble and there's all this stuff going on. So he gets into this situation with his friend and they're over at this guy's house and this guy's trying to make him hit this 6-foot bong. and he's like, no, man, no, no. Weed makes me paranoid. No. And he's like, you got to do it. So he gets him to smoke it. And then Jason Bateman is exhaling forever. And then he's coughing out like just huge, huge gusts of smoke to the point that I'm sure they must have CGI'd it in because no one could do that much in one take. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
And like even a minute later, he starts coughing again and more smoke is coming out. But yeah, the scene is hysterical.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me way, way back in the day when I was a much younger and stupider man. I remember I was working at a call center at a unbeknownst technical support position.
I know where it was.
And I remember, so before I went into work that day, I was really bored or something. So I take this huge old rip out in the parking lot before I got in. I was tired. If you've ever worked at a call center, you know it really sucks after a point.
Yeah.
And being stoned is not the worst way to go through it. So I take a huge old rip, and I walk in, and it's about 10 minutes later, and I'm talking, and all of a sudden, this last little wisp of smoke just comes out. It was like 10 minutes later. I'm like, what the hell?
It was like hanging on, man.
Yeah. But, oh, man. So, yeah, you notice we always open up with, like, you give me a shit ton of recommendations.
I always do. I always have lots.
You do.
I have lots of things that everyone should watch because I watch way too much TV.
I have a recommendation. Parks Ooh. And Recreation.
Yeah.
Oh, my good God, is that...
So after you and I talked about it last week, because I had watched like one or two episodes mm-hmm. and I liked it, but Jenny, I was kind of waiting for Jenny. And then one night I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch it. So I started watching it and I'm digging it and I'm having a good time. And then the next night, Jenny wanted to watch it. So I'm like, cool. So we've been watching it now. We're almost done with season two.
Oh, and season two is where it really kicks up in awesome. Chris Pratt, oh my God.
He's hysterical. Oh my gosh. And did you notice he's always sweaty?
Yes.
It took me a while, and I'm like, the dude is always sweating.
April. I mean, the whole cast is amazing. And I think it really kicked up in season two.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to remember when Rob Lowe joins the cast.
It was right at the beginning of season two, I think. Or it was like halfway through.
It
was the end of season one, I think, is when they showed up.
What? Let's Wikipedia save us.
Right?
Parks and Rec, Rob Lowe.
Or it's either the end of season one or it was a mid-season break of season two.
I think it was a mid-season break.
Yeah, it was like they announced that those guys were coming in. And then, yeah.
Because I remember that. But anyway, that he's freaking amazing in that.
He really is. It's a little bit ridiculous.
Yes, it came in on Boom Boom. There we go. It came in on Parks and Rec. Yeah, so Tammy Too, Megan Mullally, or whatever her name is. Oh my God. Is it her Ron Swanson? That episode's amazing. Amazing.
Did you get to the one where they get remarried? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
where he's got like the cornrows. Yes. And he's got the middle part of his mustache is missing from friction.
Oh God, yeah. So cannot recommend Parks and Rec enough. So much fun to watch with someone too. I don't know what
it is really.
I love is the constant like. Way they all constantly like look directly at the camera.
Yeah, you know they do, and
like a shitty. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like I mean, it really is a lot like The Office, but I like it so much better than I liked The Office, and I think it's because it's just a little bit more realistic.
Yeah,
like they get into weird things, and a lot of these people are really stupid. But a lot of people are really stupid.
Speaking of someone who's done some intern work in government for a U.S. congressman.
Yeah.
And done some political work, you know. Well, hell, you worked on a campaign or two with me. No, that, I did. The world of politics is that petty. It is that stupid. It's hysterical. I mean, the sort of stuff that will turn out like that. I mean, that's what I liked about it. You've got those cynical people who are there just, you know, they're just checked in for 30 years doing nothing. And you got the people, the true believers.
And I love Tom Havisham or Haverford.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is, what's his name?
Aziz Ansari?
Yes, Aziz Ansari. Which, if you haven't seen his stand up on Netflix, he's got a couple specials on there. They are hysterical. So you should check those out. The other one that I recommend more than any stand-up I've seen on Netflix so far is John Mulaney. Oh. And if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it tonight because it's that funny.
John Mulaney.
Right. John Mulaney. He is kind of a regular on Kroll Show. If you've ever seen Kroll Show, and if you haven't, Kroll Show is another one you should watch. But... his stand-up is just hysterical.
Nice.
And he does a whole bit about Law and Order SVU, which is awesome. He's just talking, making fun of Ice Cube. Or Ice T, sorry. Who's on there?
Well, Ice T and Ice Cube. Both those guys have just, you know. Ice Cube's the one with the afro, right? Is that who I'm thinking of?
No, that's Ice Cube, but no, Ice T is the guy.
That's for you.
And he was also in Johnny Mnemonic. He was the one that was like in charge of the talking dolphin, I think.
Oh, the dolphin doing cocaine. Yes, awesome.
Fucking dolphins. I think I can. I gotta look it up now because mnemonic starts with an M.
M-N-E.
Yeah, I got it. I always forget. Yeah, he is. It's him. He's J-Bone in there.
All right, added it to my list, my Netflix list.
You know, I really want to watch Johnny Mnemonic again.
We saw it's that such in a the theater dumb movie, together, I think.
And I love it so much. It's a horrible movie. It's so much fun.
Have you ever read the books that was based in?
No, I didn't know it was based off a book.
Oh, yeah, no, Johnny Mnemonic was written by William Gibson, who wrote Neuromancer, Count Zero, and something else, but essentially created the whole cyberspace or cyberpunk motif.
Really?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Okay, well, for our Audible, and this is a great way to segue into book recommendations of the week, or book genres of the week.
Let's do it.
William Gibson created basically the cyberpunk genre. Yes, there are some other people in there, but I would highly recommend check out at audible.com. There's a link here at the site.
Yeah, it's onefootover.com/freebook.
There you go. Well, get your free book with William Gibson. Go ahead and get Neuromancer. Amazing books. This is the guy who basically designed our whole idea of the, you know, hacking in the whole virtual world, the Johnny Mnemonic, you know, I'm surfing the web, the almost the, you know, the Matrix type cyberpunk genre, you know, where people are constantly plugged in, the dystopian future.
Nice.
Amazing stuff. Very far ahead of his time. And that was a great change in that genre. Another one I would totally recommend by Neal Stephenson is Snow Crash.
I was just going to say Snow Crash. That book was so good.
Yes. Snow Crash. Okay, if you like Snow Crash,
yeah,
you are going to love Neuromancer. Neuromancer is what made Snow Crash possible in a lot of ways. And Johnny Mnemonic is set in the same world as Neuromancer. Johnny Mnemonic was a short story that was pretty interesting and pretty damn cool.
Nice.
Much better than the movie, but it also has the possibility of it's a book, you know. It could get away with describing outrageous shit. He doesn't have to put it on screen.
Right, exactly. What was it? Oh, I'm right in the middle right now of a 40-hour audiobook. I finally started the Wheel of Time series.
Oh, well, I will start going through that.
Yeah, because so many people have told me about it, and it's like my cousins who are all into fantasy stuff. It's all of them's favorite series. And I know you and I talked about it at least once, and so I
recommend it. I really, because there's some stuff I want to bitch at. I want to talk about that, like, you know, nerd out on. So, yeah, I think this is great.
And I need to finish it. I was hooked right from the beginning. I mean, it's a very cool story so far. I'm digging
Agreed.
It.
Agreed. So are you through the first one or still going through
No, I'm like, I want to say I'm like 8 chapters into the first one, 8 or 9.
Excellent. Okay. So
where I'm at, they just got to the first city that they were, like, after they're on the lam.
Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah. Definitely, and I'll say this, the first 4 or 5 books of that are especially strong. I mean, the whole series, I haven't finished it yet, so I can't give it a true honest go yet. But it's a great series. Totally recommend it. And
I heard it started getting kind of weak towards the end, and then he died. And apparently the guy who picked up and wrote the rest of them, or at least the last one, apparently it was like a really good, like it got better again.
Yeah. I think after a certain point, he didn't have an editor. I mean, because he was Robert freaking Jordan.
Right.
You know, I mean.
He's like, you're going to tell me how to write a book, kid?
Because, I mean, if you've never seen the Wheel of Time books, they are the ones that are about 1,000 pages or so, you know. Each one's like a War and Peace length book.
Yeah, it's their Game of Thrones length.
Game of Thrones wishes, in some ways, it could do the amount of characters that Wheel of Time has done. Think more like if you've ever read Romance of the Three Kingdoms, the classic Chinese novel. I haven't either. I'm just trying to, you know, sound smarter than I am. But right, I do know it has the same sort of level of huge storytelling. which is okay. Where we use, or Shogun, you know, these long epics.
I saw some of that TV show.
I loved Robert Jordan. I loved the concept of, I loved what he did with the whole, you constant callbacks to past ages, and you'll keep seeing that. Obviously, the wheel being a huge metaphor for reincarnation and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Fascinating. I mean, it's really cool because, well, minor spoiler alert, and it's not like it really matters.
Oh, no. La, 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 la,
okay,
la.
Okay, okay,
okay. I'm kidding. Go ahead and tell me.
there's references, call us that possibly it could be much, much later in Earth's history is where this is set. It's not that it ever comes directly across, but there's a couple, like, almost like, you know, legendary references.
Well, yeah, they made a reference to Arthur, King
yes,
Arthur.
Yes, and stuff already. Like that, yes.
And then it's funny, too, the other thing I noticed is that, and it could just be because of my background or my upbringing, but it seems like there are some almost overt Christian overtones to it.
There,
like a mixture of Christian into like some pagan stuff too, but
I think there's a big mix of the constant call to the light, if I remember. Mm-hmm. I think there's a mixture of Christian overtones and Buddhist.
Okay. I can see that.
And I could see that would be more where you would see what possibly the more pagan or the but the definite the constant call out to the wheel what is it, the wheel of time, blah blah blah. I mean, that is actually a Buddhist symbol, if I remember.
Yeah, they basically described a yin yang, like right at the beginning.
Yes, that's actually the symbol of the Aes Sedai. The female is the you know, the black is the yang is the male, it's the black or the dark one's tooth. Uh-huh. You know, they call the dark one Shaitan. You know, yes. That which the Muslim or is the Muslim. Wait until you hit, I think in the next two or three books, you get to meet the ale. And the ale are amazing.
Nice. I'm excited. Yeah. I've been really digging it. Pretty much listening to it every spare moment that I've had.
Fantastic. I imagine it's a pretty darn long long book.
Yeah, it's 40 hours.
Oh, good Lord. Well, yeah. I wish I could say it's going to get shorter. It ain't.
That's what I think the first Game of Thrones book is 40 hours, and then from there it went up to almost 60 for the last one. But you can't beat that for, you know, if you have your normal fee and you get one credit. I mean, 40 hours takes you a while to go through, so.
Yeah.
Yay, Audible.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, Wheel of Time total recommendation. And I kind of always fall in sci-fi and fantasy together.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, I mean, yeah, they're two different genres and we could have a nice long discussion about that sometime. In fact, you know, I'm going to pencil that in because that would be a good discussion.
It would be.
All right. Sci-fi versus fantasy. But, totally recommend Game of Thrones. It is huge. I really wish they would do something with it, either in a game or something. It's never been properly developed, and I think it could be really cool.
Yeah, a Game of Thrones online world would be insane.
Oh, I would.
Especially, I mean, it would be cool if they set it during, like, the Battle of the Seven Kingdoms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very cool if they took it before the events of the movie and the books.
You know, and going back to Wheel of Time, you know, you were talking about how Robert Jordan passed away. I would say after about book five, or, you know, I'm pulling it up right now, Wheel of Time, I think it was when he got started getting really big, and it almost feels like he started stretching it out and adding just more and more point of view characters. I mean, it was just getting crazy. And I think after a certain book, I'm pulling up the list right here, I finally just kind of went, lol, no. Because almost 1,000 pages, and it was like 3 weeks. You know, 3 weeks occurred. Nope. And that just was not good. It was after, I think, the Lord of, number six, Lord of Chaos. It just started getting a little odd. But I read these all through high school. That was one cool thing. It was kind of able to grow up with these. I got out of it about, I want to say, Knife of Dreams back in 2005.
Okay.
So I just actually picked up The Eye of the World and The Great Hunt and The Dragon Reborn, so in paperback for real cheap. So you know what? We'll come back. We will come back to Wheel of Time in a couple of weeks.
I'm for that because I'll have things to say. I'm sure. I'm digging it though.
Excellent. And I'm gonna have some more recommendations. I think next week I'm gonna show you military sci-fi.
Ooh.
Yeah. Military sci-fi is some fun stuff. So I saw that you sent me that link about that freaking guy with the samurai sword in Holland. In New York.
I did.
So this dude gets arrested by, like, flashing a samurai sword at someone in a road rage incident.
In New York, in the Holland Tunnel. Like... There's road rage, and he jumps out and pulls out a samurai sword. Now, based on this picture, it's like whenever in a movie you see where they have, you know, the big one and the little one, it's the little one. I think it's called like a shuriken maybe or something like that.
It's either a tanto or a wachiski, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, a tanto. So it was, and this guy, it looks hysterical. Like, he's in this picture, and I don't know if this is his prison picture, but he's wearing a black and white striped shirt, which makes me feel like he's in an old-timey prison. I don't know. They must have put him in prison in Jersey. And I'm sorry, New Jersey. I didn't mean it. Maybe I did. Whatever. But and then they got a picture of this sword. Just like, can you imagine this dude jumping out of his car?
Just like yelling. I would just like yell at him for being a nerd. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, it that's the picture kind of looks too. It's like, I almost think he's like a cosplayer or something.
Right? He was on his way to WizardCon. And he just like jumped out. And it's funny though, the thing that made me laugh even more than the premise of this in the article is there's like a quote from the cops and it said, "You'd be surprised how many people get arrested for samurai sword related antics all the time." I'm like, what? It says, in fact, samurai sword is right up there with naked, drunk, alligator, and Florida when it comes to appearing in weird news headlines.
Oh man. I like Florida, America's dong.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It also makes bad choices, just like junk.
So, did you see, speaking of upcoming movies, which we weren't, but have you seen Apocalypse for the new X-Men Apocalypse? The actual character? Okay. Have you seen, it looks ridiculous. I'm not going to lie. It looks like a bad freaking... There are things comparing it to the Mighty Morph Power Rangers, including a link I just sent you. And it really does. I mean, this fan-made one is amazing. It looks right outside of the, right from the comics.
You know what else it kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of, what was that? Scorpius.
Oh, from, I know what you're talking about. It's Farscape. Farscape. Yeah. Which I started re-going through.
Yeah, I think I've probably watched that whole series like 10 times.
Me and Britt got H1N1, one of the avian flus a few years ago, for Christmas. And it was also the first year we got Netflix. So while we were down for like a week and a half, we just actually dragged a mattress out to the living room, laying down in front of the TV. We went through Farscape, and unfortunately, that was our first big binge, and I made it into like halfway through season three, and I went, I need a break.
Yeah.
I can't do my, this.
My absolute favorite episode of Farscape is the video game episode. The one where they're in the, it's almost like a cartoon because it's like a video game cartoon type thing taken out of Crichton's mind. So everything is like Looney Tunes and real goofy. But the best part is that Claudia Black has this ridiculous Southern Belle accent with a lisp. So she's like, "Oh, my dear sweet man, I do declare." And it's absolutely hysterical because it's so counter to her normal character on that show.
Now, did you hear they're going to make a, I think they are doing another movie.
Don't tease me like that. That happening?
Let me pull it up. I remember hearing something about this. It is officially happening.
IO9 says it's happening.
Now, this could be a while. Nerdist says it looks somewhat likely.
Dude, I am super excited about this because Farscape is one of my favorite series. And when they ended it the way they did, at least they redeemed themselves with the Peacekeeper Wars because that end was some BS, man. I was so angry.
Well, they got canceled, right?
Yeah, they got canceled, and so they ended it on a cliffhanger with, I'm going to spoil it because it's old, and if you haven't watched it,
I think I've already watched it. Yeah.
No, the two main characters are dead.
Right.
Like, they finally got married and got together after all this stuff, and then they're on a boat just chilling, talking nice to each other, and the shuttle thing comes out of nowhere and blows them up.
Oh, that must... Yeah, at least they got the Peacekeeper Wars.
Yeah, so Peacekeeper Wars redeemed it, which is good, and... I love that show, so I'm happy that they're making a movie. Hopefully, it'll be awesome.
I love anything coming out of the Henson Creature Shot, so.
Yeah. That is true. And Chris Hardwick has like the in over there, man.
Oh?
Yeah. He can pretty much go and do stuff there whenever he wants now, apparently.
Oh.
Did you ever see that music video that they did with Ben Folds? And the Muppets?
No, it did not.
Yeah, it's Ben Folds and Fraggles.
Ben Folds is really so awesome.
Really good. I'm going to pull it up really quick so that you can enjoy it, and then we'll put a link in our show notes.
Yes, indeed.
I love his drummer.
He looks kind of like Alan Tudyk.
A little bit.
Isn't that one of those, the uncle or something?
What?
They're always looking for?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember Fraggle. I don't really remember Fraggle Rock that well.
Yeah, you know, I watched it a little bit in one of our random apartments that we lived in that had free HBO when I was growing up. Because that used to be a thing, like apartments would have free cable.
I remember that.
That was back when they didn't put commercials on cable.
I miss those days.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, fun video.
Yeah.
And watch out for samurai swords.
Speaking of Jim Henson, looks like the guy who was directing the Dark Crystal reboot quit.
Really? Because he realized that it was an exercise in futility?
His reason was no one is doing what gave a shit about what Jim Henson wanted.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that really means. So probably what you said, it's an exercise in futility.
Because they're like, hey, we're going to take this thing that's awesome because of when it was created and, you know, we're just going to try and redo it. Or is it a reboot?
No, it's a sequel. Remake? It's a sequel.
All right.
I still think it's too late, though. I mean, I think so too. It's a minor thing and... I know a lot of us love it from our being kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it: if you've gone back and watched it, it did not age the awesomest.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely a product of its time.
Brings me to this list I sent you. a list of movies that are either getting sequels made years later or getting remade.
That's funny because that's why I brought up Dark Crystal. I've got that up.
It's on the list, yeah. Dude, they're doing a remake of Gremlins.
Oh, yay!
What? Like, why would you do that? Oh, wait, I take it back. This thing says the reboot is dead. Good. Well, they realized that it was stupid.
Well, I can say, well, reboot, yeah, reboot would be stupid. Sequel would be awesome.
Sure, do a new one. Make it even scarier instead of funny. You know, that's what they seem to do with stuff like that these days. They're like, eh, we're going to take this, but we're going to make it a horror movie.
Actually, I should go with the actual sequel. I would make it as silly as shit.
Well, I know. That's what would be awesome if they did, but that's why it won't happen. That's what I was saying is. It would be like when Sam Raimi decided he was going to redo Evil Dead but make it a scary movie.
Oh, God.
I didn't even watch it. I was like, no, thank you.
Okay, so funny story about that. I went there with my friend Tom and my wife Britt. My wife Britt loves horror movies, adores them. I am a giant, well, I'm a big old whiny titty baby when it comes to horror movies. So I go with them, and oh my gosh, it's like all like, you know, super violent and everything. I spent most of that movie looking down at my feet.
Dude, the preview for that movie was disturbing. And when the preview is that messed up that you don't even want to look at it, I'm not going to watch it. And I like horror. But I
couldn't watch till the end when the actual Deadite came out because then it was fake enough and not, you know, as horrifying. There's this one scene where basically this woman starts getting carved up by an invisible, like, something.
Yeah.
It was not what I wanted to see. However, did you see they are doing Ash versus the Army of Darkness?
Yes, and I'm so excited about that. Oh my gosh. Did you watch the trailer for it?
Of course.
That's going to be good.
I can't wait. Link below if you haven't seen it yet by now. Well, and it's being done by Starz, which I don't know what other shows Starz has done.
They've done a couple other things that I really enjoyed, including a couple of mini-series add-ons to Torchwood.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't know. Did you ever watch Torchwood?
I've seen some of it. Britt got into it, and I watched it over her shoulder a lot.
Yeah, Jenny didn't like it very much, and I love Torchwood. Like, I almost liked Torchwood better than the Doctor Who episodes they were making.
Oh, wow.
And I love the Doctor Who episodes. So,
I got to say that Captain Jack's American accent, is pretty damn amazing.
It's because he's American.
No, he's not.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure he is.
I'm pretty damn sure he's not. I could be wrong.
I'm looking it up now.
Jack Harkness.
Jack Harkness is his name on there. And his real name, I wish I could. I don't know why I can't remember because I know it because he's also on Arrow. All
right. John Barrowman
mm-hmm.
is the real actor. I'm pulling him up right now. Born Glasgow, Scotland, United Kingdom.
Raised in Joliet, Illinois.
No way!
Yep.
Well, one of the rare occurrences where I'm right, but I'm technically right, but wrong.
Yeah, but yeah, he went to college in the UK, I think. Well, or he did a Shakespeare thing in the UK. So, yeah, I love him. He's a great actor. Also, super gay.
Yeah, which didn't get that, you know, which I remember that he got married or something.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, he got married to, I thought he did. Yeah, he met his husband, Scott Gill.
Right on for that guy.
And he just got married in California after Prop 8 was overturned a couple years ago.
I'm going to send you the most disturbing picture as soon as I find it.
Well, awesome. What has he sent me? Oh, God, what have we done? Is that Carrot Top?
No, that's John Barrowman in drag.
Oh, fantastic. That's yams. Oh. He makes a very very muscular redhead drag queen.
For sure.
He could rock the heels, I'll say that.
Yeah, so that's cool. They're doing a Goonies sequel.
I've heard about that, and I guess I don't have that huge childhood connection to it. I know a lot of people do, but I never really saw it, I guess, until I was...
Oh, man.
I was a teenager at that point, I think, when I saw it. And yeah. I liked it. It was cool, but...
No, I saw that movie repeatedly when I was like 6, 7.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
That one is ingrained in me, and apparently they got everybody back for the sequel.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of them would love some work. Beetlejuice 2, I am torn.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tim Burton's doing it, so...
Yeah, that's kind of what makes me... Well, at least it does not have Johnny Depp in it. I gotta say, I'm not too impressed with Tim Burton since... I haven't been too impressed with anything he's done since Big Fish.
I thought that was Terry Gilliam.
No.
Did Terry Gilliam produce it then?
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm looking. Director Tim Burton. Huh. For some reason, I thought Terry Gilliam had something to do with that movie.
Nope. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't been too impressed with Tim Burton. He seems to be, I don't know. I just haven't seen him do push himself anymore.
I think the last thing he did that I really, really loved was Nightmare Before Christmas.
I liked, that one was amazing. I loved, what was it? Mars Attacks.
Sleepy Hollow was decent. I still haven't made it all the way through Mars Attacks. Every time I watch it, I fall asleep.
Well, that kind of says enough right there.
Yeah. I've tried. I don't like, but yeah, I fall asleep every time. So we'll see. I mean, there's an awesome episode of Extras. Have you ever seen Extras? Or no, it's Life's Too Short.
No, I have not.
Okay, I'm going to send you a clip that you can watch later. But there's an episode of this, Life's Too Short, which is basically, it's a Ricky Gervais show that's a fake, like, TV documentary, like a fake reality show about Warwick Davis. Awesome. So there's a camera crew following Warwick Davis around playing, like, just like a ridiculous characterization of himself. And there's an episode with Johnny Depp that is absolutely hysterical. But there's one point where he's like yelling at Ricky Gervais, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing a new movie, and Tim Burton's directing it. You know who my co-star is gonna be?" He's like, "Helena Bonham Carter." Oh, but yeah, I'm gonna send you this clip later, and you will laugh so hard. The show's pretty funny, but this one in particular was amazing. This one, and then there's one with Liam Neeson, and he walks into Ricky Gervais' office and is telling him how he wants to get into comedy. And so then they start doing some improv, and he's being like. He's being basically his character from Taken doing the improv. And so he knock, knock. And he's like, yes. And he's talking to the doctor. He goes, doctor, I have AIDS. And they're just like, that's not funny. He's like, I'm pretty much riddled with it.
I gotta see that.
Yeah. Later on, he's like, I have full-blown AIDS.
Oh, man. They were going to do a Jumanji. Another Jumanji movie, but now that Ron Williams has passed away.
Right.
Rest in peace. That's dead, apparently. Ooh, poor choice of words.
Yeah. Oh. That's all right. I don't think Jumanji needs a sequel.
Agreed.
For starters.
Terminator Genesis.
What?
Terminator
Genesis was great.
You know what? Who said that too? James Cameron. He considers that one canon. He says it goes 1, 2, and this one. The other two don't count.
I can see that. 3 wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. And 4, I thought was cool if it wasn't a Terminator movie. Like if they took it and just made it a different movie, not Terminator, it was a pretty decent movie. But I don't like it in the Terminator series. This one, though, was so good because they basically just throw everything out the window.
Good. I mean, that's the only way you can keep playing with the time stream, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I mean they basically took the same idea of what they did with Star Trek.
Which, that, you know, and that, I guess, lets you do it. I mean, you can just constantly retcon that way or reboot someone.
Right.
The other thing is I don't think we need to worry too much about staying with that. You know, I mean, being that totally precise to storytelling. Uh-huh. That's something you want to see in a show. Movies, we kind of get it. It's kind of like a superhero origin stories. No one needs to see those again. We've seen Superman. We all know who he is, or we can figure out Batman's angst pretty damn quick.
Which I love the way that they did Ant-Man, because they took it as he's the second Ant-Man, so they basically just cut out all the need for an origin story.
Yeah, that is awesome.
They did like a tiny little like a flashback explanation, and that was about it. And they just did the movie, and it was really good.
Up. I was just recommending that movie to somebody.
It's a great movie.
It is. And the major reason why is think about the first opening, 10 minutes of that movie?
Uh-huh.
It tells an entire story of that of Carl.
Dude, I was bawling the first 10 minutes of that movie.
Yeah,
I'll say it.
I still cry. I still get misty-eyed when I see that. I mean, the first 10, 15 minutes of that, boom, I mean, That honestly made it Oscar-worthy for me. That was an amazing achievement of storytelling. But it tells an entire story, backstory for Carl. You get him. You get why he's a grumpy-ass son of a bitch, but you also get why he's a decent person, blah, blah, blah. You hear everything about the character. That's how you can do a goddamn origin story. You don't need to... The Incredibles, same way. You got who they were. You didn't need to get the full backstory. That looks, so that's looking freaking amazing. And then there's one other thing that was coming out again that looked, I have not seen Jurassic World yet, but everything I hear is awesome. What do you say?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. It was so much fun. And, I thought they did a nice job of doing kind of nods to the original movie. And it was really fun. And Star-Lord was awesome.
Excellent. I foresee a good career for Chris Pratt. I'm impressed with his work in Parks and Rec. I mean,
yeah, and he was great in what was the Star-Lord one?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, he made. I'll even say that in. Up against a pretty damn impressive cast of, Rocket was a pretty other good person, and Groot, and then, Scarred Asperger's guy. he did an amazing job. He carried that in a large part. So I foresee good things. He's married to, what's her face? The Scary Movie chick.
Anna Faris?
Yeah, Anna Faris.
Dude, I love her. She's hysterical.
She is.
Speaking of which, have you seen Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel?
I have not.
Okay. She's in that one. I will get... It's on HBO right now. I'll get a link so you can watch that. You will love it. It's so good. It's basically these three guys walk into their usual pub, and the one guy goes to the bathroom, walks back into the pub, and everyone is dead, including himself on the floor, dead. And he goes back in the bathroom, freaks out, comes back out, and everything's normal again.
All right, I'm going to have to watch this.
Yeah, you're gonna love it like all the clocks, dude. It's amazing.
Okay, I will check this out. I'm sure I can find it for rent at our local video store.
Yes, wherever videos are rented. Your Redbox or your...
Hastings, if you're in the New Mexico area.
Never even heard of that.
Hastings is awesome. It is a music store, bookstore, usually a cafe, and a video game rental. Huge selection.
Huh.
They're only local to our areas, but they work and they're awesome. They're like an institution here.
Nice.
You know, I like to still see that. I mean, Borders died out. That was sad, and I like bookstores.
And I don't spend a lot of time at Borders.
Oh God, we did. Well, they had amazing music selection back in the day.
And coffee.
But I think that is an excellent place for us to go ahead and end.
Okay. Because
coffee sounds good, and I need to go make some.
Most excellent.
All right. So we will come back next week. Hope you will join us. We need to, you know what? Someone come up with an opening, we finally need to come up with an ending.
We do. How should we sign off this week?
You know what? I'm going to find a 90s movie clip to send us out. That'll do. We'll just insert a random clip from a movie.
I like it.
Boom.
I love you, pumpkin.
I love you, honey bunny.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!